Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in. Winning cures everything. It is the, Friday, July 9th edition of the podcast. I'm Gary.
And I'm Chris.
That's, I had to get my date straight, man. The one day off this week has kind of thrown everything up in the air. You know, it's been crazy. Has work been kind of nuts for you, or is it kind of
no? My work has actually been really nice this week. Had some good news on some different fronts, and just trying to keep running along, man.
Is this good news that you can share with our loyal audience? Or
it's not. I am buying a business. I will go from having three jobs to having four. Now, and that'll be
very nice.
Nice, I guess. Hectic, but it's the life I have chosen as an individual who does not have a corporate job with insurance and security and retirement. It is my responsibility to build on top of building on top of building, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, very nice. So, well, congratulations are in order, of course. We celebrate America's independence, and now we're going to celebrate a little more financial independence for you, my friend.
So. Well, it's not financial independence yet. First 5 years will be very, very lean.
Well, you know, 5 years is worth it if it pays off in the sixth or whatever, eight.
That's right. Year six. If I make it to year six, it will be worth it in spades.
It feels like, you know, when we were in high school, it felt like 4 years was forever. But nowadays, four years, gone. So I understand it. I understand. Well, we have got a lot to discuss. Before we get started with it, go ahead and tell you winningcureseverything.com is the website. Everything you need to know about us is over there. Everywhere to follow, everywhere to subscribe. And every show that we do is over there as well. So all the stuff that we do with SBR and all of our podcasts, the live shows, whatever else, all posted right there. So go ahead and check that thing out. And as I mentioned, sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. There is a link in the description. You can go and check that out. We do a college football show over there. We are doing two conferences per week right now to get us headed into August. And we are rocking and rolling. Just released the Sun Belt on Wednesday. And I believe the Mountain West is coming out on Friday at some point. And I believe early next week we're going to have the FBS Independents. And then we're starting in with the Power Five bunch, so, or the Power Six, I guess, starting with the AAC and on. So we are going to be rocking and rolling through all of that. We are, you know, picking win totals and conference championships and all sorts of fun stuff. So it's been a lot of fun so far. Looking forward to continuing that. Let's go ahead and dive into the news of the day. And the first topic here, the Olympics. Everybody was worried that it might be crazy. You never know what's going to happen. We're still in the middle of a pandemic, a global pandemic, And nothing screams that more so than the fact that the Olympics in Tokyo, Japan are now locked down. Like, they're still going to have them, but there will be no spectators. I don't even know what to think of this. There's going to be no fans at all. There's still people that will be over there covering it news-wise.
There's going to be limited media, like not just no fans, but the media can show up, they can watch, and then they must leave. Like, there's no talking to the athletes. There's no getting a scoop. There's no nothing. Parents have to be furious. Are they going to allow families or no? Do we know?
I don't think so. Like, there's nothing in the latest news stories about it, but it sounds like just nobody really. Like, you're going to have very limited, but you're not. I mean, the families of every person competing, I mean, that could fill up the arena by itself. So
you brought up Wetzel's name. He's a guy that we follow, we love, and he talked about on the Yahoo podcast. Him and Pat obviously are going over there. Pat's going to work/watch his daughter, which is an amazing thing. Wetzel is a better man than me. I talk about how I own a couple of businesses, right? And they're all small businesses. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. This is not Scrooge McDuck over here. I would not take this. He has enough clout. He has been around not just Yahoo, but sports journalism. I think he should be able to call his own shots of what he wants to cover. He has covered many Olympics in his life. He has seen some of the coolest things in the world. I think I would call in a favor and say, I'm not doing it. Somebody else is going to do this.
Yeah, that's what I think.
They're quarantined in their hotels. This is not outside of work. You know, they can go out drinking or hanging out or even in sightseeing, not even just being a debaucheried American, but just going and enjoying being in Japan and seeing what Japan is all. Nothing. It is go to the thing, go to your hotel. Go to the thing, go to your hotel. And that's it.
What, you could cover it on TV.
What are you doing? Why are you going, Dan? Like, I would ask, I know why Pat's going. I would do that as well. You got to put me through hell to do this. I'll do it. But everyone else, this is low man on the totem pole, needs to go cut their teeth on this bullshit. And I'm going to hang out over here and maybe cover the NBA finals.
I agree.
Or whatever, or just take some vacation time before football gets going. Like, there's no way I would do this.
No, not
with the new restrictions involved. I would love to see Japan, but not like this.
If you're Yahoo Sports or any of these other big media conglomerates, right? Would you even waste the money to send somebody over? Because the stories that come out of the Olympics are the human interest stories, the stories about these people. If you're not going to be able to talk to him.
No, because I think you could see something different being there, and you can report on something being there. I absolutely would still send somebody. Now, if I was you said the conglomerates. Now, if I was a small media thing struggling to financially make ends meet, then no, I probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
But the big boys that have plenty of money, no, I'd still send somebody, and I'd send the best people I have willing to go. But if I had enough clout in my job to where I could say, I'm not doing this job. Like, I have a guy that works for me that he gets to call his own shots. I mean, he just does. He knows he's better than everybody else. He's the most trusted person I have. And when we have a job that's really, really shitty, he just says, hey, I'm not doing this. And I say, okay, we'll put you on another job. Get another crew in here and we'll give them this crap job. Because I know it sucks. And he's kind of earned it. I just have to assume Dan's earned this. I don't know, but maybe I'm wrong.
I think you're right. The Japanese prime minister, I'm not even going to attempt to say his name, he said that he vowed to do everything we can to prevent the further spread of the infections. One day later, which was yesterday, citing rising case counts and the more infectious Delta variant, he declared the state of emergency, which will extend through August 22nd. 2 weeks after the Olympics end. So this is not something that it'll start like this and then we'll just see how it goes. Like, no, this goes all the way through the Olympics and out. So, you know, they reported 16 days before the opening ceremony, The Tokyo Metropolitan Government reported 920 COVID cases, over 200 more than any other single day total since May.
So do you think they're going to still do like a big opening and closing ceremony?
I don't think so.
Because that's all that is pageantry, which I actually really love the opening ceremonies a lot. I mean, I think everybody in the world that likes the Olympics watches the opening ceremonies. They're amazing. I'm gonna miss that. I'm gonna miss it.
I mean, it's you've always
got like one
TV.
Small country that's got one or two people like representing their country and carrying their flag, and I like that always kind of moves me and gets me into the Olympic spirit. Like seeing the Americans walk through, we're bigger and we're stronger and we have more money than everybody outside of China. Like, you know, like,
yeah,
I'm not going to ever get nostalgic about it. I want us to do well, but I like seeing the little guys who have no chance at winning the medal at anything, but they're there competing and they're there fighting and they're representing their country. And I think that's kind of incredible. A lot of these places, these people are coming from just total nightmare places to live.
Oh yeah.
And this is a big deal. And to not have that night, I guess, of just pageantry that doesn't actually mean anything except for the people watching it. I don't know. It sucks. I don't know. Are they officially not doing it?
No. They have not said that they are officially not doing it. I think they're going to watch the case count and all that kind of stuff, see what's going on with everybody coming in.
It'll definitely be an empty arena, though, I think.
It'll definitely be empty. Organizers have said, though, that the games can and will go on in a state of emergency. Japan's minister for the Tokyo Olympic and Paralympic Games reiterated that commitment on Thursday at the beginning of a meeting of leaders from the Japanese and Tokyo governments and the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, the Tokyo 2020 Organizing Committee, and others. They committed to it as well, said it is going to happen. They are already in Tokyo. We'll see what this looks like, what it means. I mean, we kind of thought that we were past this, but I mean, this is crazy.
Do you get into the Olympics, or do you just like casually watch it?
I tend to get pretty into it. Yeah. So I'm never hyped up about it.
Oh,
but
I really like the Olympics.
I'm saying like building up to it. Like right now, like I know the Olympics start in about 2 weeks, but I'm not hyped yet. But once everything starts, like,
well, I guess,
you know,
yeah,
come
I
home from work
really,
and
I never get hyped up about a whole lot of things. But once I'm in it, no, I'm it's one of those. It's just one of the things I don't know. Ever since I was a little kid, I always saw the Olympic athletes as the greatest athletes in the world. I mean, now that I'm an adult, you know, I watch professional football players and professional basketball players, and I'm watching the Euro Cup, and I'm seeing these guys run around a soccer pitch for 120 minutes straight with no break. And I'm thinking, oh, these are the best athletes.
But
when I was a kid, you know, when you're developing all of your kind of roots of who you are and what's important to you, it was a big deal.
I remember it then
and I remember it now. And now that my kids are getting that age, I just kind of like I'm specifically going to sit them down to watch certain events just so they can see, you know.
Oh, I mean, this
America
is
perform and see these things.
The Olympics in 2012 are what got my daughter super interested in gymnastics. Yep. And then 2016, she was super into gymnastics again. We paid for all kind of classes, all sorts of stuff. She's in cheer now. And that's all due to her watching the Olympics.
Yeah.
So,
well, we're gonna watch, and they're gonna be interested, and then we're gonna say, yeah, that's them, not you. You don't have any athletic ability in your genes at all, and I'm sorry for that. Let's hope that, you know, you're smarter than your dad.
Well, you never know. I mean, there's so many different sports that that they could pick something and be really good at it. Like my daughter,
that sounds like a lot of commitment and a lot of money, Gary. We don't do
that.
We're cheap and we're tight, and no. I'm not wasting my Saturdays taking my kids. This is where
there
everyone finds out how much of a horrible father I am. My youngest wanted to play soccer this past, like, whatever, spring, fall, whenever soccer happened in our town. And I was like, no, No, because that sounds like ruining every Saturday of my life. And
for,
I'm not
for a while.
I work too damn hard and you do nothing but go to school all day. I'm not giving up my Saturdays. Your Saturdays don't mean shit to you. They mean a lot to me.
Believe that. Believe that. Speaking of Saturdays, that's a good segue. North Carolina football. The players have spoken, and brother, they are not excited about this 12-team format for the college football playoff. Now, this is the first that we've actually heard of any players and their opinions on the playoff expansion, right? Because it, you hear it from fans, you hear it from talking heads like us, everybody that wants to spout out an opinion. Nobody actually asked the guys that are going to have to be out there playing, you know, for possibly 16, 17 games in a season. And now Mack Brown came out and said that during a team discussion about this, his players were against the format and they preferred a 6 or 8 team playoff. I found it strange.
Yeah, they want a 6 or 8 team playoff where all the Power Five schools champions get in.
Yeah, which, okay. Which,
yeah, I would want that too if I was a Power Five school, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, because now I don't have to worry about maybe getting embarrassed by a Liberty.
Very much so.
That's what they're concerned about. Also, but this is going to sound shitty because I'm one of the biggest advocates for these guys getting paid. I'm one of the biggest advocates for us not restricting them in any way. But I'm also an advocate for, you know, you get to play sport on national TV in front of hundreds of thousands of people live and millions of people around the world. Quit your bitching. Like, we're not asking your opinion on how many games you want to play. And if you would like to sit out because it's a grueling sport and you don't want to wear your body down, I'm all in favor of that. I've got no problem with that. These rosters in college football are 100 people deep. Okay. So if you want to say, I'm only going to play guys in 13 games, guess what? You play like 4 also-rans a year. All right. You play 7 teams in your conference that are dog shit that you're going to beat by 25. So just sit out the second half of all of those games for all of these stars that are actually care about this.
And then you're good.
And now we've cut this 16 games down to like 12. Imagine that. This is where we're at now. This is a problem solved. Problem solved. Quit your pitching. Let's go.
Well, I think we are going to see that a lot more going forward. Because we already see it, with the Alabamas, Clemsons, Ohio States, et cetera, when they play these FCS or these way lower division teams, when Ohio State plays Akron and stuff like that, you see the starters come out and they'll play maybe the first quarter and then everybody else gets playing time. Clemson is notorious for playing over 100 guys in home
games. 100 guys. Yeah.
Like in one game.
And this is the issue. If you cut all the games down, then you don't have the ability to play. So the playing time that you're cutting, not the stars, the playing time you're cutting are all the guys that would normally not get playing time.
Yes. Okay?
So I just don't understand. I don't understand the argument. I don't understand the concept. Now, if they ever get rid of the pay for wins, which is what I'm wanting them to do, then maybe we can come to the table and have this conversation. But I'm going to tell you, we're going to have very few teams ever play actually 17 games. Maybe.
Oh, agreed. Maybe one or two
in the history of this season.
Like the most the most that you could have in any season would be like two teams that played 17 games each, and that would require them. Likely,
to have won their conference or play in their conference championship
and probably lose it.
That's right. They'd probably have to lose their conference championship but win or lose, they have to play the game. So they have to play in their conference championship and not be a top 4 seed and play all the way through to the championship game.
Exactly. Not going to happen often.
So if that happens a lot and we see 17 games really wearing on people, so we got to stop using the set. So my question is 16 games too much? Is 15 games too much? Tell me where to cut this thing off at, because we already are at 15 games, right?
Yeah. I mean, at Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, they are used to playing.
So we're already at 15 games. So if you make it six teams or eight teams, you're still at 16 games.
100%. Right? Yes.
Correct. Okay. All right. Shut up. These are kids that don't know what they're talking about. I'm very curious. I would like to actually talk to them. Actually, I want to know why they're upset. You're now about to start getting your money. What are you against?
I'm curious. If,
what is your argument really?
I wonder if the other argument is maybe, all right, you're basically not going to have a Christmas break, like, at all. Like, it's going to take longer to play these. You're going to play through the Christmas season. But anybody that made bowl games was already having to do that anyway.
I was like, just about to say, everybody who already made a bowl game didn't do that to begin with.
I didn't understand it, why they were arguing about this, because they are one of the teams that likely could have made a 12-team format last season. I mean, they would have been right on the cusp. So, you know, this would have made sense for them. And I swear, if you got them into a situation where they gave up a couple of games like they did last year, right? So Jeremiah Gamel, sorry, the linebacker, said, let's see, just talking with some guys on the team, when we let Virginia and Florida State slip away from us last year, you can't get those games back. I don't feel like we deserve to be in the playoff if you lose two games like that during the season. And that is 100% true. But if you, the rest of his roster, I am sure would have loved the opportunity to go out there and get those games back. Like, it wasn't that they weren't good enough. It's that they screwed around in two games that cost them, right? You make mistakes, and then you have a chance to play through them. Like, a playoff format like this, we've talked about it multiple times, but you could have teams that get hot at the end of the season. Johnny Manziel's A&M team from 2012 legitimately could have won that national championship in 2012.
Yes.
Like, they were playing on fire because, remember, right, Manziel was a redshirt freshman that year. They lost two games early and then won, what, eight straight and just destroyed everybody, beat number one Alabama at home. Like, they were on fire. There are teams that will be able to take advantage of this.
I completely agree. Like I said, only a Power 5 team would say this, and I think they're being told to say these things, by the way. I think
might be right.
You know how easy it is to influence these kids, right? Like, you 100% know that.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. I mean, especially Mac Brown. He's very, very persuasive. You know, so everybody calls him Governor Mac.
These guys are all going to have the same opinion of their head coach and their administrators. You're not going to get honest answers out of them, because I need to know logic and reasoning. And don't give me 17 games because you already play 15 games to win it all. Okay? Everybody does. So one more game to open it up for everyone else just is
no big deal. If the NIL stuff had not come out and kids were not getting something for playing,
that's right,
then we could really have an argument.
Now we got problems.
And it stands.
Like I said, I was curious their arguments beforehand when I was reading the article you sent me. And then when I got to the, and we also think that all the Power 5 champions should automatically get in. Like, oh, this has nothing to do with what is right or what is wrong. This is, we don't want to get embarrassed on national TV ever. And we are a team that, because we have to play Clemson, if we ever get by Clemson, we should be in, and we should, no matter what else happened that season, we should be in, and we should, you know, have massive advantages over the people we play.
Yeah.
You know,
like, we should only have to win two games as opposed to, or three games as opposed to four, or whatever it is. Like, yeah, give me a break. Give me a break. Yeah. Let's talk about the Home Run Derby. The 2021 MLB All-Star Home Run Derby, the contestant pool has been confirmed. Like, the participants are ready to roll. And, I mean, there's fun names on this list. The number one spot is Shohei Ohtani. Did I say that name right?
Nope. Yeah, no, that's it.
I've said it multiple times, but, you never know.
This is done in a bracket form, and I saw the bracket. I'll let you go through the names in a minute. I'm furious with the bracket. I mean, there are two players when I saw the list of names, and I thought, these are the two guys I think can win it. I'm going to be betting on these two guys.
Do you have the bracket? Because I don't have the bracket in front of me.
Go ahead and read through the names, and I'll look up the bracket.
Here's the names. So Ohtani, Pete Alonso from the Mets, Trevor Story from the Rockies, Trey Mancini from the Orioles, Salvador Perez from the Royals, Matt Olson from the Athletics, Juan Soto from the Nationals, and Joey Gallo from the Rangers. Now, Soto and Story both have 11 home runs this season. Alonso has 15. Mancini has 15. Those are the only ones that are under 20. Salvador That's Perez right. has 20. Olson has 21. Gallo has 23. And then Ohtani has 32. This is
let me tell you something. Make no mistake about it. Most of those guys, like Soto, only has 11. Soto's my guy, by the way. Soto's my guy. Yeah. Soto only has 11 home runs. Soto missed a large portion of the season this year before it started due to injury and due to COVID. He has to match up against Shohei in the first round, and that pissed me off because there's a world where I think Shohei could win this thing. So you got in the first round, you're going to have Shohei Ohtani versus Soto, Juan Soto. Then you got Salvador Perez versus Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso is the returning champ. That's on one side of the bracket. Other side of the bracket's Gallo and Trevor Story. Trevor Story is the Rockies representative, which is always fun. So he'll have the home crowd with him. And then Matt Olson will do Trey Mancini. And so that's the bracket. When I saw this, and the first thing I went to was I was just trying to find where Juan was. And when I saw he was matched up with Soto, I was furious. I was absolutely furious.
I mean, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It seems like one side is significantly stronger than the other.
Well, not necessarily, and not based off of this year's home run production, okay? Like, agreed. Soto is the quote-unquote eight seed based on his home run production this year. But that's... Like
that's because
said,
he hadn't played.
You know my opinions about all stats. They all lie. They all lie. And Soto is without question one of the best. I'm going to tell you this. Shohei is kind of a freak. I've talked about this before a little bit. If you were to design the perfect baseball player, it would be Shohei Ohtani. There is nobody in the league that can throw like him. That can not just throw, but pitch like him. So if let's say he wasn't a pitcher and he was an outfielder, he'd have the best arm in the outfield. Like it's not, and it's not close, by the way. It's not close. He obviously hits for power and we see how great of a hitter he is, but running the bases, he has the fastest base speed recorded this year, faster than like a Tatis or whatever, who had the fastest until Shohei, you know, had like either a triple or he was on first and somebody hit and he went from second to third or whatever. Like the fastest clock speed at running the bases this year was him. He really is the perfect baseball player.
Oh, he's a freak. He's an absolute freak.
It's unbelievable. And if you go look at his contract, this guy's playing for a bag of beans compared to baseball players.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
You
know what drives
me
nuts, by the way? All of these different guys that are on like the MLB Network or ESPN or whatever that toss out this opinion that he needs to either hit or pitch, that he doesn't need to do both because they think it takes away. It hadn't taken away so far.
Hasn't taken anything away.
Why would you change anything?
They've all been spectacularly wrong. They've all been spectacularly wrong.
And they're still spouting it because I just heard one of the guys on MLB Network 2 days ago talking about it.
I you know what I think some of that is? I think some of that's just jealousy, man.
You're probably right.
I really do. I think they grew up and played in a day where, you know, you play the game a certain way and you know, you do certain things and this is different than what they're used to.
Yes, I agree. So let's talk about who's not going to be there. Vlad Jr., Guerrero, not going to be there.
Yep.
Tatis Jr., not going to be there. Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez, both have opted out. Javier Baez confirmed he is not participating. You know, typically I'd be a little upset about some of the names that's not, you know, that have decided they're not doing it. This doesn't really affect me much. Like, I think the one guy that I wanted to see was Ohtani, and he's doing it. So, You know, you got last year's reigning champion.
No, like, so I wanted to see Tatis. But Tatis has played hurt most of the year, and he hurt himself at the end of spring training. He's got a hurt shoulder. He's playing through, and he's hurt it swinging too hard. Like, literally swinging the bat is what's caused the damage. So he can't do it. And I talked about this on one of the solo shows that I've done. Vlad Jr. He's trying to do something that nobody's done in a long, long time. Miguel Cabrera was the last guy to hit for the Triple Crown. Okay. And that was a decade ago. It was a long time ago. And he really is in contention for the Triple Crown. Okay. He's been one of the best baseball players in the sport all year. I think if you're trying to do something really special like that, then you need to keep doing what you're doing, because we always see players come out of the home run derby where it jacks up their swing. And, and if you're a guy like Vlad and you're trying to do something more than just hit home runs, which you do well, I think I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I would have loved to have seen Acuña do it. I don't, you know, just because he's probably got one of the most violent swings I've ever seen, you know, and he hits the ball really hard, really far, you know, but we got to see him do it last year. So I understand guys that have done it in the past and then say, oh, I'm good. I'm good. Shohei Ohtani, by the way, two-year contract, $8.5 million.
That's like total, you said,
not a year.
It's like a bag total of chips.
It's stealing. And guess what? The Angels still suck. Yes. They still suck. They've got two him of the and best Trout players. Trout's hurt all the time this year. Well, but they've had two of the best players in the game, and they still blow dick.
Yes. Yes, you're right.
I hate that he went to the Angels. Now, I'm glad he didn't go to the Dodgers. God, I'd throw up all over myself. But, like, come on. And he wanted to stay out west. He wanted to be on a West Coast team. I get that. I fully understand that. California, Seattle, that West Coast line takes care of the Asian players better than any other place in the country. I fully understand that. But it kills me because I love the Padres. And San Diego is such a better city than Anaheim. It just is. It just is.
Hey, staying on MLB right quick. We didn't plan to talk about this, but did you see what the Astros are doing for the Yankee series that is coming up?
Yeah, they're giving away replica merch for
replica the Super Bowl, replica trophy for the World Series from a couple years ago. But the one that they were quote unquote cheating, and the Yankees were the biggest complainers. They're giving away a replica trophy, a replica ring, and then they're giving out a Jose Altuve jersey to like the first 10,000 people to get into the stands.
Yep.
I think it's genius.
Yep.
Absolutely love it.
I love it.
Absolutely love it. All right.
Listen, those whine crying bastards, screw them.
Yeah. I mean, do the thing. Oh, it's ridiculous. All right.
They were doing the exact same crap. We found out they're cheaters. They're best players. Now we got the sticky shit on their hands, off their hands, and their best pitchers can't pitch. That they're just as big of cheaters as everybody else out there, but we had to listen to them cry on national TV because they were so victimized by what the Astros did. Screw yourselves.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Yes. Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The NBPA director has come out against LeBron James. Now, this was a pretty interesting story. You sent this one over to me. And
yeah, this is kind of a ballsy move, man.
Yeah. So Michelle Roberts is the director of the NBPA. And, you know, came out and talked about the numerous injuries to several stars this year. You know, the season kind of limped to a finish, had a bunch of guys get hurt in the playoffs and whatnot. It said, if you asked me at the beginning of the season if we would be able to complete the season, I would not have taken that bet because I didn't know. I was prepared. I think Adam would say, Adam Silver, he was prepared to shut down the season if we found evidence that this was too dangerous, being away from home and all the traveling. So unequivocally, yes, for the obvious reason that we had it, right? If you don't play, if you don't work like everybody else, you don't get paid. That very easy to see there. I mean, that's a simple, rational logic, right? I love that. So LeBron James is the one that has complained all season about how it was such a short turnaround. And
then as soon as they missed the playoffs, they got knocked out. They got knocked out in the playoffs. He immediately started criticizing every time another player went down. See, look what happened. Well, I guess the Bucks aren't really upset about this. I bet the Suns aren't really upset about this.
No, they're perfectly fine.
That's right.
They are perfectly fine. Like, that's the thing. So you have injuries every year, regardless of the turnaround. Correct. Like, it doesn't matter. It wasn't a COVID-19 shortened season. It wasn't the short turnaround.
They played 82 games. The amount of games that they're supposed to play every year.
I think it was 72, wasn't it? 70. I think they played 10 less.
Then they played less games than they would normally play in a regular season.
Yeah, played less games.
So had they played the 10 extra games, God knows how many injuries we would have had, Gary.
Yeah. I mean, it's just insane. So, but this worked out well. Like, Chris Paul gets to make his first finals. Sure. The Suns have their first ever lead in the NBA finals. Yep. The Greek Freak is in his first final.
This is Giannis's first final. I mean, this is a big deal.
This is big.
I've talked about this a couple of times also, and it's just a matter of the old lion dies and the young lion takes over. All right. The list of players that are all getting hurt are all old players. And some of them have had injury problems their entire career. And some of them have not. And this is the first time they're getting hurt, but they're also older today than they were yesterday. And this is what happens. And you know who's not hurt? Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton. Like these young stars that are hitting their prime. They're not getting injured. They're having no problems.
Yeah, the only young player that I know of that got hurt really was Mitchell for the Jazz missed like the first game, but he was fine. And then Jamal Murray. Like, Jamal Murray is young, superstar, like budding superstar. But injuries are going to happen. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Injuries are going to happen.
But the slew of injuries that happened all happened to old players.
Yes. And it could have happened in any season because it does happen in every season. There's nothing to complain. This is the whole victim mentality thing. It's like if he doesn't make a finals, there's some underlying reason as to why he didn't. And this time it was because Anthony Davis, was hurt for their series against the Suns. Well, it turns out the Suns pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it works out. Now, I'm not going to talk too long about this, but, you know, I talked on the show the other day about the ratings. I was curious. It's not as low as last year, but man, it is way down. It averaged like 8.6 million viewers for game one. And I mean, that is like I think it was 36% drop from the 2019 one, which was the lowest in like two decades. So this is now officially the lowest in like,
but it was higher than last year.
It was higher than last year. Yeah, but last year's was
and in, last year's we had stars. Last year we had big teams.
No, I mean we had the Lakers and the Heat. Yeah, So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely better than last year. Now, last year
big
was
cities, we had big teams, time. We had stars.
So it last year's was in the middle of football season.
We had a time where everything was. I also think that this is just a new age. Like, we just have to recalibrate what sports ratings are, because this isn't just an NBA problem. Everybody but the NFL lost ratings last year. And hell, I think even the NFL lost ratings compared to what they normally get. They were just still bigger than everybody else.
Oh, and that's why I compared this to 2019 and not last year.
But this is what I'm saying. You can't compare it to 2019, because that we live in a different world now than we did in 2019. 2 years ago, people watched television differently. Every sporting event has gone down considerably from 2019. All of them, even the NFL, the king that can never be taken down, is significantly smaller today than it was in 2019.
I'm curious to see that this year, to see what it's going to look like, because we all know last year was...
Well, you can't look...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, this year, the 2021 season, when you're not in the middle of an election cycle, when you're not dealing with all the COVID stuff, like, when people aren't watching the news in massive numbers, will they come back to the NFL the way that, you know, we thought they would for the NBA, but they haven't? You know, at PGA,
I think television watching has just changed.
And you might be right about that.
Watch television has changed.
So, but this is the first season, really, aside from Major League Baseball. But you can't really tell the numbers for that until really you get into the pennant race and the playoff race, right? So,
well, because we don't have national numbers, you have local numbers.
Yeah, you just got local numbers right now. But yeah, as far as a big time national, you know, one of the big three, we're not going to know the numbers until after the football season. And then, you know, we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. I'm curious about it. But either way, we do have two more topics that we want to hit. And we're not going to tell any, I'm not going to dig into goofy stories. You know, we'll do some of that on Sunday's show or Monday's show. McGregor and Poirier 3 is this weekend. And I am stuck. 1-8, by the way, you want to come over to the house and watch?
Probably not going to, but no, I'm probably not going to watch it all. I've seen it twice. I've seen one guy win one. I've seen one guy win the other.
I'm going to be stuck at the house.
They haven't done a good job of selling this to me. Yeah. I don't care.
Okay. I can understand that. So McGregor on his side, he did come out and say, that he was looking past Poirier in January. He had already set up a camp to do a boxing match with Manny Pacquiao. And then he apparently got injured in the fight, so he couldn't go in and set up the boxing match, all that kind of. And now he's, you know, got revenge on his mind, all that kind of stuff. He said that he, quote, sent electric bolts down Poirier's body with left hands, but didn't swarm for the finish because he was trying to win rounds. Said. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We talked about this a lot last year.
Trying to win rounds. Win the fight, you dumbass.
Yes.
I swear to God, these guys, I mean, there's a reason they're fighters for a living. They're morons. All of them are morons. I don't know that any of these guys have ever, like, gone on and left fighting and went on to, like, you know, I don't know, cure some disease or you know, do something, you know. They have a lot of money, and many of them do good, but they're not smart. They're not geniuses.
No, the only one that I would say really good things about is Stipe. Like, Stipe is awesome, you know. He was going out. Yeah, what was he doing? He was EMT and a firefighter and all that in Ohio. Like, you know.
Those are still like meathead things, though, man. Like,
I mean, you're right. So McGregor's quote.
I love firefighters, and they're awesome dudes. I'm friends with a lot of them, but
it's still very much meathead.
Those guys aren't geniuses. Those guys aren't geniuses. McGregor. What McGregor's saying is it's only like three or five rounds. Like, I'm trying to win rounds. This isn't boxing going 12 rounds. If you knock his ass out, then you win the fight. That's a dumb thing to say.
He was saying that he was trying to go longer in the fight to help with his cardio to get him revved up for a Pacquiao boxing match, which is ridiculous. But I can buy it a little bit, and here's why I buy it, okay? Buy it because there were all the videos that were going out of Dana White talking with Khabib Nurmagomedov about how much money the Khabib McGregor 2 fight would be and how much money they can make, and Khabib was still talking about coming back at that point. And when Poirier won, Khabib was like, all right, I'm out. Like, I'm done with this. There's nothing here for me. Like, a McGregor fight is a big money fight, which, so McGregor in this, his quotes were, I'm coming in to kill this man. I'm coming in with vicious intent here, mortar shots. What else can I say? That's the way it is. I'm looking to take this man out cold. Poirier, everybody has said that he should be the champion right now in this division. Because he had been number one for the longest time. Charles Oliveira was ranked like two spots behind him when he came in the season. But Poirier got the McGregor fight, and he knocked him out. And rather than take a shot at the title, he and his wife talked about it for just a little bit, and he took the McGregor fight again because they understand how much money it is. His first fight with McGregor, Poirier made $34,000. With this one, he's making seven figures, like guaranteed. Before he even steps in the ring or in the octagon, he's making seven figures. And so while he has always said that it is his goal, it is his, the only thing that he wants in this world is to hold that belt. At the end of the day, a fight against McGregor is worth more than the championship, which I think this is going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping that we see a different McGregor this go round, that one that's not looking ahead, one that's not thinking about all the other stuff that he's got to do. But maybe sometimes you can't get that back, like that hunger and everything. Maybe you can't get that back.
So therein lies there. All right. So he might be able to get that back. This might be an awesome fight, and he might kick his ass. Here's my problem. He has fooled me too many times that he cares more about the sideshow than the fight. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm out. I'm just done. You're not getting my dollars anymore. You're not getting my views anymore. I'm no longer interested in Conor McGregor, who was one of the most interesting things about UFC in a long, long time, because I watch him half-ass fights and I don't understand it. And if you're not going to give me your all, then I'm not interested in you, because you obviously don't give a shit about me, especially on the, like, a betting side. People gamble on you. People bet on you. And you're not even trying out there. You're out there screwing around. You know what? Fuck you. I'm done.
He's he is the underdog in this fight. I think he's plus 110 at some spots, plus 105 at some of the others. You know, Poirier coming in as a favorite. This is a bit of a what's the Office reference? How the turns have tabled, or whatever it is. Like, yeah. This is different. This is very different. So I'm curious what is going to end up happening on Saturday night. We'll close out with this. I know that you know more about this than I do, so I will let you explain to me exactly what happened. But the Tampa Bay Lightning have won a second straight Stanley Cup. Tampa Bay has turned into Title Town ever since Tom Brady has gotten to town. And apparently, now you sent us this graphic the other day. I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but everywhere that he has gone, from where he was born, when he was a child, out in California, the 49ers and the Raiders both were winning NFL championships.
Yep.
He goes to Michigan. They win a national championship. The Red Wings win Stanley Cups. All sorts of stuff goes on good in Michigan. He goes to New England. The Celtics are winning championships. The Bruins are winning championships. The Red Sox are winning championships. And now he goes down to Tampa. The Rays are in the World Series. And, you know, the Lightning have won two Stanley Cups, and now the Bucks have won a championship. What is going on here? Like, this is witchcraft.
I think there's a chance he could, like, if this was many a moons ago, like, we would look at him the way people looked at Hercules or Thor. Like, there's a world where he's just a god. Okay,
it's entirely possible.
And like, he just brings light and goodness and victory to all around
him. There's no other explanation for this.
I don't have a logical explanation for it.
The Lightning have never been worth even discussing in NHL circles. And now he gets to town and all of a sudden they've won two Stanley Cups?
Well, I mean, they're pretty good. But yeah, no, this is, it's weird. It's strange. There was a world.
But on top of that, the only two guys on the team that had not won part of the cup
were involved in the score last night,
which is insane.
Yeah, the one nothing game, and the two guys, one got the assist, one got the goal. They're the only two guys on the roster that weren't there last year and or had never won a Stanley Cup before. Pretty like you can't, if you brought scripts like this to Hollywood producers, they would laugh you out of the room and say, that's too much on the nose, man. We can't do that. It's so much. That's too cheesy. It's yeah. Too people predictable.
People see that coming. That's Disney. Yeah, that's a Disney movie.
Yeah. That's it's not even Disney, because even at Disney, you know, the mom dies 90% of the time. Like, what are we doing? Yeah. And so it's just I don't know. I can't explain it. I find it interesting. I find it funny because I love Tom. I worship at the feet of Tom. And maybe one day you will all begin to worship at the feet of Tom.
I will tell you this. My stance on him has shifted greatly ever since we started doing this show back in 2016. I mean, you know, I was not a big Tom Brady fan whatsoever. And now I think I just appreciate greatness. I also find him, I would tell you this.
I saw watching Twitter during the match. So many people, him leaving Boston really helps a lot of people because they all hate New England. And now they still get to hate the Patriots, but they get to do what they've always wanted to do, which is root for Tom. So that helps. But then also seeing him do the match for the third time, you find that this guy's not just a robot or a machine. He's goofy. He's nerdy. He's self-deprecating, which we all like. And he's got a little personality. Like, he's not the life of the party. Okay. But
I don't know. He was during that Super Bowl trophy presentation, like, or the parade and everything. Tequila Tom was a thing.
I just think cameras. No, that's the first time he might have ever been drunk in public. Like, that might be the first time that's ever happened in his life.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So it really was. I do like that. I do like that somebody from the Lightning was like, you know, well, you can't throw this trophy's too big to throw, Tom. And he was like, tequila makes everything lighter. And I was just like, he makes. Nobody else makes fun of himself like this. Listen, Kevin Durant is so thin-skinned. Anybody makes any joke about him on Twitter, he just murders them. He destroys them. We see other guys in the NFL go that same route. Everybody is so thin-skinned and so protective. And this guy, who so many people have spent so much of their life hating, is so likable. He's so willing to laugh at himself and to be good. He knows he's nerdy. The fact that he played 80% of that golf match with his shirt buttoned all the way up to the top, like, it wasn't until the back nine before he unbuttoned the top, very tip top button. Like, yes, he looks like a nerd. He looks like a goofball. And when you talk to him, he's okay being silly and goofy.
It's pretty awesome.
And he's kind of good at trash talk because it's coming from, like, the widest, nerdiest guy in the world.
Yeah, which automatically makes it better.
Yes, it definitely makes it better. Well, it's impossible for it to be, like, mean, because you just kind of feel bad for him when he's, like, bad at it. And when he's good at it, you're like, oh, that's pretty good. I wasn't expecting that coming from you.
Coming from a nerd.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think the world – him leaving – which is weird. He left Boston. He went to Florida, and you would think that wouldn't be good for his image, but it did somehow.
It has worked.
Make him more likable. And then seeing him on the match, and if Charles Barkley can hang with you and like you, and Phil Mickelson, like, those are two of the most likable people in the entire sports world. It's almost like if they vouch for you, you know, it's like you're the asshole if you don't like him.
Yeah. I think you're probably right about that. So, well, with that said, congrats to the Lightning. I know that we swapped it over to a Tom Brady story, but the Lightning, get another one.
It should have been a Tom Brady story. That's okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I think Tom Brady could take over every single show that we do, my friend. Every single show that we do. All right. With that said, let's go ahead and get out of here. This has been a lot of fun. It's been a good week. We're going to see even more coming up next week. Go to winningcureseverything.com. And, of course, we will have a podcast out on Monday. But make sure you are subscribed everywhere you can. YouTube, the podcast, etc. Jump on all those. Apple Podcasts, leave a nice 5-star review. And go and check out sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. Or go over to YouTube and search out SBR Picks. Our conference previews are rolling. So go ahead and watch those. They're not too long. We didn't make them like an hour long per show. It's very simple. Go and check them out. And with that said, Chris, anything else we need to hit?
That's it, brother.
I think that's it. All right. You guys take care of yourself, take care of each other, and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week. Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.